We are in this series about being in the wilderness and what that really looks like and why it is so important in our lives, because God always uses the wilderness. The problem is we don't really have an affinity or like the wilderness. Wilderness isn't one of those places where most of us enjoy being. In fact, a lot of times people fight to get out of the wilderness. People don't enjoy being there. I don't think anybody likes being stuck in life. And that is a lot of what the wilderness is for us. We look at it as a place where we don't understand what's going on. We don't have a sense of direction in our lives. We don't have a sense of being what is familiar being present with us. It kind of feels like our world, it's almost like having the blindfold put on you and asking you to live out your life in a sense of uncertainty. I don't know if you've ever watched... I mentioned a few weeks ago that I enjoy watching these TV shows where people either live off the grid for a short period of time for hunting, or a lot of times they choose to live off the grid for a long period of time. There's a show called Last Frontier, and it's about these people in Alaska that they live in a part of Alaska where their closest neighbor is 200 to 300 miles away, and they never see anyone. In fact, no one is allowed to live in this area. The people that currently live there are grandparented into this program, and that is, they can do this and their kids can do this, and after their kids, no one will be allowed to live in this area of Alaska. And so as you're watching it, one of the things that you realize are the thing that makes the wilderness so terrible or so scary is the sense of isolation that we have. Now, again, I'm not talking about the wilderness being a forest of trees. It's a season in life where you feel like you're alone. It's a season in life where the questions of your life go unanswered. It's a season of life when you don't have a sense of purpose or direction, or maybe you don't even have a sense that God is close to you or that God is speaking to you. I read a book, and I think the last 10 years of Mother Teresa's life, she stopped hearing God speak to her. And it was a wilderness for her in her life. And she talked about how she had to continually put one foot in front of the other, but it was a sense of not having an awareness of God's presence in her life. See, we will all find ourselves in the wilderness at some point in our lives, every single one of us. Because the wilderness is that place where God uses to shape us into who he wants us to be. And that, to me, is just a great picture to understand that I don't want us to miss. And that is, God is committed to shaping you. God is committed to shaping you personally. And he will bring you to places where you don't want to be in order to make that happen. The wilderness is that place. The wilderness causes us or forces us to live differently, because it's an area of our lives that we are unfamiliar with. It's brings us to a place where we have to trust God even when we don't really want to trust God. I was talking to somebody this week and how real easy it is for us to get into a cycle where, man, it's so easy to talk to somebody. I love talking to Kevin about my challenges. Or I love talking to Eric about my challenges in life. Or I love talking to people about the things that are going on that I wish that this was different. But it's not easy for us to talk to God about when we have so many people around us that are willing to talk, when we have so many people around us that are willing to encourage us and support us and all that, and we'd love that. But the truth of it is, we don't enjoy talking to God sometimes. And sometimes that's what the wilderness does, is it forces us to talk to God, to turn to God. A quick recap about the benefits of the wilderness that we've looked at. First of all, in the wilderness, we discover that God is present in our uncertainties. When we feel that we're all alone, that's when we've got to be aware that that God is with us. We also learn to lean into God during fearful times. The wilderness gives us an opportunity to trust God in fearful times, even when we may not want to trust God. It forces us to. It forces us to realize that God is good, that he's faithful, that he's present. And God uses the wilderness to grow our faith. It's the purpose of the wilderness. We made this statement, I just want to mention it again, but the benefits of the wilderness are a result of our actions in the wilderness. In other words, how we come out of the wilderness, the benefits that we receive from that time, you know, where we're alone, or that time of difficulty or that time of uncertainty, the benefits of the wilderness depend upon how we act in the wilderness. And just to be straight up, if we don't do anything in the wilderness, the benefits are going to be little as well. You can walk out of the wilderness as bitter as you walked into the wilderness. Or you can walk out of the wilderness better because of the wilderness. That's our choice. It's how we act in the wilderness that determines that. So we'll find ourselves in the wilderness, and it's what we do in these difficult times that really matter. Today, what I want us to look at is discovering the lessons and discovering how the wilderness teaches us to overcome the temptations in our lives. We've looked at different people that God has brought into the wilderness and how the wilderness has shaped them. This week, we're looking at Jesus and how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and how in the wilderness, he learned to overcome temptation. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story. In fact, I'm just going to read the intro part. It should be on your handouts. It's found in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. I would really like for you to read that on your own sometime this week. It's also found in Luke 4, 1 through 11. And anyways, this story really does help us understand how the wilderness benefits us when it comes to this issue of temptation. We ought to understand that temptations, if you're human, you're going to experience temptation. You're going to be tempted. Sometimes people would say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I don't feel like I should be tempted. Well, that's just a load, because if you're human, you're going to be tempted. Temptation is a human issue. Some people say, man, I'm praying that I'll never be tempted again. I'm telling you, you're asking God to strike you dead, because as long as you're alive, you're going to be tempted. That is a part of our human existence. We'll get into this, so I want you to really understand, though, temptation is something that every single one of us in this room deal with to some degree, whether you want to admit it or whether you don't want it, whether you feel like, hey, I'm a Christian, I should never be tempted. Fine, you can say whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, if you're human, there's a temptation that you have to deal with at some point. How do you personally deal with temptation? We had some great friends when we lived in Texas, and they had a son that was like Jordan's age when Jordan was like really little, and so we would do stuff and hang out together. One day, his company had tickets to the Mavericks games, and you know, there's these moments in life that you don't forget, like when we were invited to go to watch a Cowboys play on Thanksgiving Day in a box, you know, not a cardboard box, but like a box, And it was really cool, and those things you just don't forget. And this is one of those times, because this friend of mine said, hey, I want to take you to the Mavericks game. And so we went, and we were like courtside seats. And I remember that they were playing Houston, and I remember Yao Ming was on the team. And I remember this guy is 7'2", and his arms were as big as my legs. And this guy's a monster, you know, and just watching the degree of all this. And so as we got there, you know, we found our seats, and then he said, listen, I've got reservations at this restaurant here at the arena. And there was this restaurant where you sat down, and as you ate, there was a window that you overlooked and you watched the team practice. So it overlooked the practice court. So while you're having dinner, you could watch the team's practice or watch your team practice and everything, which was really cool. After that was all over, we found ourselves meandering through the arena in a souvenir shop. And in this souvenir shop, we just kind of were looking around. He's on one side of the store, and I'm on the other side. I hear this, Dave, come over here really quick. Come here. I'm like, oh. So I go over there. He says, you got to see this. And it was the Maverick cheerleaders' lingerie calendar. And I told my friend, I said, dude, I mean, I'm one of the pastors on staff at the church. He goes, I'm like, dude, I don't want to see that. And he's like, come on, Dave. It doesn't hurt to look at the menu. That's what he said. And my response was this. If you look at the menu long enough, you're going to get hungry. If you look at the menu long enough, you're going to get hungry for what's on the menu. And you know what? It was awkward for a little bit, but he got over it, went and sat, watched the game. It's just been a story that's never, you know what? Everybody has temptations. I'm not saying that I wasn't tempted in that moment. The issue is you learn how to overcome temptation. And if you don't learn how to overcome temptation, you fall to temptation. I think way too many people approach temptations just like my friend did. And that is, we say things like this. I would never do anything that's going to hurt somebody else. I would never allow the temptation to be something that destroys my family or destroys my kids or destroys whatever. But it's, the menu doesn't hurt anyone. And what we're doing is we are nurturing the menu internally, thinking that it's not going to hurt our family or it's not going to hurt anyone else, when really what we're doing is we're nurturing the very thing that's going to destroy us, which in turn will destroy our families, which will in turn destroy the people that we love. This is not just about sexual temptation. This is could be about gambling, it could be about alcoholism, it could be about overeating or being critical or even having a temper. This isn't about a certain element of sin. This is about sin. Temptation is a sin issue, and all of us as human beings have a sin issue. That issue never gets resolved. It has to constantly be subject to Christ. It is a sin issue that all of us deal with. Now, the truth is, some of us are dealing with it while others of us are not. Some of us are willing to deal with it and come to terms with it, while others are kind of at this place where we'll say, you know what, I've tried that before and it doesn't work. Some might say, how do I know if it's temptation and not just a trial in my life? You can write this down if you want to, but it's when we face uncertainties, it's how we act. And a lot of times it's important to know what we're dealing with. Trials or times of difficulty are things that we grow through. We grow through them. In other words, we get stronger as we grow through them, times of difficulty. Temptations are things we run from. So while trials we grow through, temptations are things we run from. And I think of Joseph. We just talked about him the other week. Joseph gets Potiphar's wife, starts coming on to him, and the temptation is there, and he runs from the temptation. In fact, let me read 1 Corinthians 10. He says, if you think you are strong, you should be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful, and he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. I like how other translations also say it. With the temptation, God will provide a way of escape. In other words, get out. It's not something you endure. It's not something you stomach your way through. It's something you run from. I'd be straight up. If we're not running, we're being attacked by it. If we look at what the definition of temptation is, Webster says this. It's an enticement to do something that compromises or leads us away from what is good, which is a nice translation. Something that compromises or leads us away from what we believe is good. Now, the problem with that temptation, though, or that definition, is this. What is good to you may not be good to me, or what is good to me may not be good to you. It's a relative term. And so now we become the deciding factors of what is good, personally. That's a dangerous place for us to be, because I determine what is good, or you determine what is good, and maybe your standard of what is good is lower than my standard, or maybe my standard is lower. And so whenever we have, that makes our temptation area very sketchy for all of us. The biblical definition, I like it better. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Now it makes God the standard. And I like that so much more because, as I said earlier, we tend to judge temptation on the severity of how it's going to affect other people or how we perceive it's going to affect other people. When in reality, the severity of temptation is actually about how that temptation affects us personally and our relationship with God personally. So it removes the projection of, listen, when I face temptation, this isn't about how it affects other people. Temptation is about how it's affecting me personally and my relationship with God. The wilderness can be this great time of temptation, just like Jesus experienced. And it says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. And I don't know how that rolls with your theology, But a lot of people have a hard time understanding or believing or embracing that issue, that God's Spirit would actually lead Jesus into a place where he would be tempted. But you know what? That is, I don't know how that affects your theology, but maybe you remember the Lord's Prayer where Jesus is teaching his disciples and us how to pray, and he mentions in that, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have to understand that temptation is a time when we are coming to terms, and God will bring us to terms, not tempt us, but allow us the opportunity to see where we're going for strength. How are we doing? What is this temptation? What is the strength that it has in your life? God brings us to terms with that continually. And I don't know if you ever, when Jesus went through the wilderness and was tempted, he had just been baptized. It was a high point in his life. You remember the story where God speaks with a thunder and God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, you know? And it's this high point in Jesus' life, and it immediately is followed by this low point. And I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that kind of situation where you've had this great high point time in your life, and then all of a sudden it's followed by discouragement, or maybe you feel like you're alone, or maybe you feel like no one cares, maybe because you've been hurt. And those can be times of great temptation, because basically after we have had this great emotional or spiritual high, our defenses are down. We're not looking, we're not ready for the attack. Here's a couple things about temptation we need to know. First of all, it's not a sin to be tempted. A lot of people that deal with shame and guilt because of temptation. Hebrews 4:15 says that the high priest of ours, Jesus, understands our weaknesses, and since he had the same temptations that we do, though he never once gave way to them and sinned. And a lot of times when people are tempted, they feel a sense of shame and guilt, but it's not a sin. You just don't want to hang around it. Here's the thing. The sin of temptation is acting on it. The sin of temptation in our life is acting on the desire that you might have. Here's another thing about temptation. We're never above it. Some people, I'm telling you, I'm not saying that anybody in this room, but I've met people that say, I've been a Christian for years and I don't deal with temptation anymore. I'm above it. I have a hard time with that. I think the Bible has a hard time with that, because that's one of the scriptures that we looked at in 1 Corinthians 10. If you think you are strong, you should be very careful not to fall. In other words, if you think you're strong, that's the time you better watch it, because you're about to fall. And when we say things like, you know what, I'd never do that, what we're denying is that there's a sin nature within us. The whole idea of temptation is that we all have a sin nature within us. And when we say, I'm above that, or I don't deal with that anymore, that's not a part. Listen, what we're saying is, I'm not human anymore. And that's not true. We all will wrestle with that. So how do you deal with temptation? I would say a few things. First of all, we all have to understand that willpower is not enough power. Willpower is not enough power. It doesn't work. We are not capable of overcoming things on our own. Whether it's AA or whatever kind of program that you want to find, when people that are struggling with addiction or temptations, they will tell you willpower is not enough power. You can't fight this battle on your own, even when it's temptation. Another thing, or how we deal with temptation, is we have to identify the source of temptation. Because if you want to be ready for something, then you have to know, first of all, that something's coming, and from where it's coming from. We have to be prepared. And so we need to understand, when we're looking at the source of temptation, the first thing is this: we are not tempted by God. And a lot of people would say, hey, you know, God tempted me the other day. And God doesn't tempt you. And I want to show you, James 1:13 tells us, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say that God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Now, he might lead us into a place where we are tempted, but God does not tempt us. That's just something we need to know. I think there's three sources that contribute to our temptation that we need to look at. First of all, it's Satan. 1 Thessalonians 3:5 says that, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter, which is Satan, had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. We have to understand that we're in a spiritual battle, every one of us. And Satan is a very real individual that the scriptures say seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we do not recognize that as a very real and present danger or issue that we have to face, then we're not taking the temptation that he brings serious enough. Satan is one of the sources that we have to deal with. James 4:7 says, so place yourself under God's authority. Resist the devil and he will run away from you. And we can't confuse this. This isn't about Satan looking at us and going, oh man, you scare me. It's because God's spirit is in us that he's scared. It has nothing to do with us on our own or our own abilities, because willpower is not enough power. Another source of temptation, not just Satan, but it's our desires. James 1:14-15. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away, and these desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Every one of us have sinful actions or desires, and we have to come to terms with it. We can't shrug it off and say, oh, no, that's just not a part of my life. You know, it is a part of your life. You just don't want to deal with it. And the other source. So we have Satan, our own desires, and then also the world we live in. This world, whether you realize it or not, is a contributor to the temptations that you face. In 1 John 2, it says, for the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and the pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father, they are from the evil world. That is something we've got to understand, every one of us. We have to know that we're in a spiritual battle, that we all have sinful desires, and that we live in a fallen world, and whether it is something that we see on TV or in shows or on print or whatever it is, this world is a contributor that brings us or brings temptation our way. And we've got to take it very seriously. In fact, I'll tell you this. I think that a lot of people that are serious about dealing with the temptations in their lives, take these sources very seriously. They don't take it for granted. They don't brush them off. They don't just kind of like let them go like, oh, it's not a big deal. They understand it's a very big deal. They understand that the sources have an agenda, and that agenda is to bring destruction to our life, and so we have to seriously look at it and deal with it. For a lot of people, and I would say too many people, what we do is we give in and give up. We think, you know what, I can't overcome it. I can't do it. So we just give in to it. I would say this, we even embrace it and we say, you know what, this is just how God made me. This is just who I am. Can't change it. It's who I am. I'm going to be straight up. We all have sinful desires that we cannot just give into. And to say, hey, this is just who I am. We can't just say, this is just the way I'm made. Or because God, the sinful desires we have to be dealt with. I want to read it. Romans chapter 8, Paul deals with this. He says this. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation, you are not powerless to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Listen, the sinful nature issue is something all of us wrestle with. Some embrace it, some accept it, some give in to it, some deal with it. I would say this, the Bible is full of scriptures that teach us and show us how to overcome the temptations in our lives so that the desires of our flesh do not define who we are. Let me read. When we look at Jesus' time in the wilderness, and I'm not going to go through this whole story with you, but as I said, when we look at Jesus going through the temptations that he dealt with in the wilderness, here's what they cause us to do that benefits us and helps us to overcome temptation. First of all, it's at that point that we learn to depend on the power of God's Spirit rather than our own abilities. God in us is our only hope. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again, willpower is not enough power. But the temptations in the wilderness cause us to lean into God and depend upon his Spirit. And we have to bring, it brings us to a place where we have to admit, and you'll hear this in AA, you'll hear this in our life recovery program. If you're going to depend on God's Spirit, it comes from this place. We are powerless to sin. All of us are powerless to sin. The only thing that gives us power over sin is Christ in us. God's Spirit in us gives us victory and gives us strength over temptation. But that's only when we're depending on God's Spirit. How do you know when you're depending on God's Spirit? I think it's when you finally come to a place where you recognize, you know what? I am powerless to sin. In and of myself, I cannot resist temptation. Only through God's Spirit can that ever happen. We have to believe and we have to depend upon the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit will empower us. Temptations in the wilderness also cause us to draw strength from prayer and God's word. And that's something we see in Jesus' experience in his life. It's what Jesus did in the wilderness. Just like exercise makes your body strong, prayer makes your spirit strong. Remember, Jesus made this statement in Matthew 26. He says, this is right before his temptation, Gethsemane. It's a time of weakness for Jesus too, by the way. But he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. All of us. Your flesh is weak. Your desire for sin is greater than your desire for God. And if you ever want that to change in your life, you have to recognize I'm powerless to sin. And the thing that I need is prayer and God's word to bring strength into my life. It's funny how Jesus says that we fall into temptation. It's funny how we don't fall into righteousness. We don't fall into holiness. We don't fall into godliness. We fall into temptation. Because if you're going to step into godliness, then you've got to depend on his spirit. It's not something you just accidentally fall into. Another thing, it's just, not just prayer. It's relying on God's word. And Psalms 119:11 tells us, it says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And God's word is what Jesus uses to overcome the temptation that he's dealt in the wilderness. And basically what God's word does is it brings and it creates a new reality for us. A new definition of how to live and why we live and what we live for. What is truth? Because I'm telling you, truth, or what we define as truth, becomes this thing that distracts us. That's what kind of allows the temptation. We think something is going to satisfy us when in fact it's not. It's not true. It's actually just going to undermine, it's going to compromise not just our faith, but it's going to compromise us as individuals. And you might say, Dave, I'm not good at memorizing scripture. I can't memorize scripture. And we say that while we have every one of Taylor Swift's songs memorized. We can memorize songs. Come on the radio and we can sing every word. We know them. But we can't memorize the scripture. Listen, it's when we memorize these scriptures for at the right time, we're able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That it gives just the strength that we need to make it through the temptation we're facing. That I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. That when I am weak, God is strong. That God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Or maybe the one that we've been reading, that God is faithful. And he will not let us be tempted beyond what we are able. But with the temptation, also make a way of escape. Listen, this is about God. It's not about us. This is about God's strength in us and relying upon that. Not relying upon our own strength. It's about us connecting with God through prayer, through his word. Allow him to change the reality of what we believe to be truth that undermines our lives. If you're standing, you can be seated for just a moment. I want us to wrap up our time together. I'd like you to close your eyes, if you would, with me. God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And with the temptation, will also make a way of escape. Because God is good and he loves you. And he is faithful. Listen, I know, just hear me out. I know that God's speaking to people. I know that God's speaking to individuals. And it's up to you how you respond to this, because some people will just ignore it. Some people will just brush it off. Some people will say, you know what? Tried that before. It's only through God's Spirit that we're able to overcome the temptations that are inherent within our flesh, our sinful nature. And prayer can make a difference. And God's Word is essential. And people to be accountable with are important. And if you... We offer recovery here at the church. We call it life recovery so that we're able to deal with this sinful nature. It's not about alcohol or gambling or sex. It's a sin issue that all of us deal with. And if you have a struggle and you're ready to deal with it, If there's a temptation and you're finally ready to deal with it, man, make sure be on your way out, there's a flyer on one of the tables. Just grab it so that you can make the phone call. And I want to pray for us. We're also going to be available to, if you have an area, if you have something in your life you want us to pray with, you don't have to be specific, but if you just need somebody to pray with you about something, we would love to do that after the gathering. The band and I will be available to pray with you. But before we do that, I want to pray and dismiss us as a group. And I want to pray for all of us. So if I could, can I just have you stand with me for a moment? Your eyes closed. I just want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for every person that is here, and I thank you as we stand before you this morning. Father, we recognize that temptation is a very real part of our lives that needs to be addressed. We just can't succumb to it. We can't give into it. We can't become what our sinful desires lead us to be. Father, we also can't fight this battle on our own. And so this morning, I lift every person that is here to you. And I ask that you would give us the strength. Give us your strength by your Spirit to overcome the temptations that we face. Father, I ask that you would give us your word that changes our reality, that changes the truth about what we believe. No longer do we look at things that will satisfy us truth, but Father, we look at you, the source, who is the only one who will satisfy our lives. Father, for every person that's here today, may you give strength. And may you give hope. And Father, I ask that you would speak encouragement into their hearts as they face their own temptations. But Father, may we as a church come alongside one another, that we can pray for each other, that we can depend upon you together, where we not only embrace that our own power is not enough, but we hold on to you. I thank you again for every person here. Bless them today. Go with each one of us as we leave. Father, may you become greater as we become less. In Jesus' name we ask.